Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink. Welcome to Drinking Bros Fake News, where we bring you the realest fake news of the week. And this week in particular, we've had a lot of really, really big fake news slash real news that feels fake, Dan. It feels fake, right?
I don't know. I mean, we've been in a bizarro world for some time now, so I'm kind of getting used to it, to be honest.
But I feel that I'm more surprised by the hour. That's the way that I feel personally, and especially last night with everything that was going on with sports, the hurricane, the RNC. Shit's gotten wild out here, kids, and you have us to help you through it. Jabes, you've had your finger on the pulse of America for a minute now.
You guys know how much I love to tune in, tune out. I am always on my phone, on Twitter, looking up.
Nope. You don't even have an account there. You don't even have a Twitter account, Jabes. I don't want to hear it.
I don't have a Twitter. And I actually can't name a news. Like, name me some kind of
news item. Can't do it, Jabes.
You no, like is Fox one?
Yeah. Fox is one. Fox is one. And that's why we have her here. It's just like every other news show on the planet, locally and or nationally. You always have to have a hot blonde who knows nothing. But is very camera friendly.
And has a big mouth about it, right? Knows nothing, but likes to talk about that.
Loves to talk about it. We are here on our brand new set in Austin, Texas. Later on in the show, we're going to be bringing out our Drinking Bro of the Week, Austin Talley, who was very instrumental in helping us get the studio, helping us get settled in. And we're also doing the live show at his bar, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, for the election, November 3rd. As I said on Ross Patterson Revolution this morning, it is free. You do not have to buy tickets. Anyone is welcome. And shit will get wild. I believe D'Anthony will probably go 7 or 8 hours that night.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to... Well, we may be going 20 or 30 days, to be honest, because I don't know when we're going to have an election result, if I'm being honest.
Oh, so we're going to stay live until we find out the results?
Yeah.
No, I'm not committing to that.
Diapers.
Everything. Let's turn the bar into... Let's turn Austin Talley's bar into Chaz. That'll be our own personal Chaz. We'll piss and shit ourselves. We'll live there. We'll have tents. We'll drink there. And we'll live our best lives there.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be wearing a diaper either way.
Yeah, for seven hours, 100%. Yeah.
We're going to have a bunch of special guests, live guests on that night for that reason. Yes, we love them, and they're great humans, and they've been on the show and everything else. But also, we definitely need to take bathroom breaks because it's going to be a long evening. I'm not with you on this, Dan.
Why?
I actually think there will be a result that night. I was leaning the other way. Now I'm not.
I don't think... I think you're wrong about that. I think the mail-in voting is going to be a problem.
Really?
It always is. Like, typically, it takes somewhere between 4 and 6 weeks to get all of them counted in a normal year, where about 21% of people mail in their votes. I'm sure that's going to be higher now. And if we're going to start all of a sudden counting on the government being competent, I think that's probably a mistake, right?
Yes, but I don't think there's going to be enough mail-in votes to swing this.
Maybe. I mean, it depends on where they come from, which jurisdictions. Like, if left-leaning people are more likely to vote, mm-hmm. right, by mail, then the chances of it extending the election is small because those districts would have already been decided because they're heavily liberal areas.
Right.
So maybe you're right. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we will have an answer. I think it'll be late, but I think we will have an answer that night. As always, we will be doing a pre-election show the day before where we will give our guesses – and picks. 2016 was obviously a banger for us. Give myself a pat on the back for that one. But Austin is also involved in local politics here, not only in the city of Austin, but in the state of Texas as well. So he'll chat about that. And he brought us some beer today from Twisted X, which is a local brewery here in Austin, Texas. It's actually right near where we live, which is amazing. They can now, which is awesome. So shout out to Twisted X for bringing us the brews today. Let's get to the first story of the week. This one is so crazy. I don't know if it's real.
It's definitely real. I watched the interview.
You think so? And that's Joe Biden getting drug tested before the debates. Is he on the juice? Donald Trump is citing a hard-to-believe improvement between the DNC debates for the former vice president and is requesting both candidates be drug tested before the September 29th debate.
Yeah,
that's
Trump,
real.
Trump was saying he doesn't mind because he does take drugs. He takes one aspirin every day. He's the most boring dude of all time.
He doesn't drink.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, usually people with that kind of level of ego have a vice of some sort.
Correct.
What is his?
McDonald's, I think, I mean, he drinks and Diet Coke.
He drinks like 12 or 15 Diet Cokes a day. That's weird. And he does eat like an asshole.
Yeah.
But that's usually not enough.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. Usually it's something else. Like, I don't know, whatever Kimberly Guilfoyle was taken this week. That was Adderall.
Yeah, it was probably Adderall. Yeah.
She was real hopped up.
Yeah.
On something. Not that I mind. Look, it's the convention. You go big or go home, you know?
So is this coming from some sort of truth in that Joe Biden has to be on something, right? And kind of everybody knows that or no?
I mean, we've talked about that every single time. If the after poor debate performances during the DNC nomination process, it was like they better pump him full of B vitamins and something, whatever the fuck. I don't know how effective B vitamins are going to be for somebody that old with dementia, but it does kind of seem. So here's what Trump said: nobody thought that he was even going to win because his debate performances were so bad. Now we're going to call in a drug test because of that. It wasn't like he was Winston Churchill. It was just a normal, boring debate.
Trump said that?
Yeah.
His burns are so fucking... Yeah.
When they asked him to expand, he says, I don't know how he could have been so incompetent in his debate performances and all of a sudden be okay against Bernie. This is just classic Trump, though.
That's great.
The Daily Beast wrote an article about him, I think, yesterday, and it was about how he's not really campaigning against Biden. All he's doing is trolling the media right now.
Yeah, so, you know, it's funny. I read that article as well, and it implied to me that Trump knows he's going to win. Mm-hmm. Therefore, all of this is just a colossal troll across the mm-hmm. board. And I will say this. It would make sense because a drug test like this is some shit that you pull during, like, boxing or something. You know, where it's just like,
but
oh,
it's even
gotta be on drugs.
The implication alone is enough, right? So whether they do the test or not, he does this stuff where he sort of just puts things in your mind.
Yes.
You're just going to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is crazy, whether we are going to do it, whether there's any truth to it, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
His objective has been reached simply by saying it. Right?
Well, I mean, if you just say out loud what everybody's already thinking, you can give credibility to that idea without actually adding any additional information, right?
Exactly.
And it's already placed in people's minds. This is like Conor McGregor getting ready for, you know, a fight against Floyd Mayweather. Like, you're just going to say all kinds of shit. Some of it will stick, and it will live in the voters' minds. Mm. And I can tell you this, if this is a real story, which you say it is, this will definitely stick in everybody's minds of like, all right, when you flip on that debate at 9 o'clock on September 29th, the first thing that will enter your mind is Joe Biden on drugs? Like, that's what I'll think.
Look, Joe
that's
Biden,
just if he even does the debate. Because Nancy Pelosi was on C-SPAN yesterday saying that he shouldn't do the debates.
No shit, he shouldn't do the debates. But
I mean, like,
what is her reasoning, though?
Just
saying he shouldn't.
Meandering. Like, just, you know, freaking debates. I don't even think it's necessary.
Oh, yeah, like, we already like, know.
Yeah, it's definitely. Yeah, like, well, I mean, we do kind of know, like, because if you want to play that game, Nance, play it both ways. How about this? How about 47 years in government? And instead of appealing to your record, you're going to talk about change, Mr. Biden, you fucking retard. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, that's like, Jesus Christ, dude. That is an incredible amount of cognitive dissonance, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how the fuck can people listen to somebody like that talk? You can't talk about change when you've been a member of the government for 50 years. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? You wrote the crime bill, dickhole.
Yeah.
Like, oh, boy.
Yeah, because a lot of people...
Yeah, he's the new face. The new fresh face of hope and change. Ooh. Yeah,
yeah, and a lot of people during this Republican convention this week have brought that up of like, hey, man, if you were going to change shit, you had 47 years to do it. What made you better in the last year that you think you
could
change?
But I'd venture to say that I don't think his base wants change, right? Am I right or wrong? Like, what they would be voting for is to go back to the old way, like I said, where shit is fucking boring.
Correct.
The
party
doesn't fucking cares about it.
The party definitely doesn't want change. Look what they did to Obama. He was supposed to be the hope and change guy. What did he change?
Nothing.
He didn't do a goddamn thing. As a matter of fact, he deported more people than any other president. I'm sorry, than all other presidents before him. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Apologies all around.
Whoa.
Used drone strikes to a level that made George Bush blush.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And passed the Affordable Care Act, which is a fucking jerk-off handout to insurance companies without any provisions for bringing big pharma like under control. This guy was a cunt the whole time. But I don't know if it was because he was just a giant pussy or if they just didn't let him do it. You know what I mean? There's definitely people behind the scenes. If you've never watched The Manchurian Candidate, the one with Denzel Washington and Liev Schreiber, I recommend watching it because Liev Schreiber's mom and that she's the woman that's won the most Oscars ever. What's her name?
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. Mm. Plays what is probably Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Like it seemed like people criticized it at the time. Like, oh, that's definitely you're talking shit about Hillary. Like, yeah, well, kind of. She's a cunt. So, like, what do you want? Well, we'll get into the who matters story later here. I don't want to blow that one right now. But all this stuff is incredible to me. I don't give two fucks about Republicans or Donald Trump. But come on, man.
Yeah.
At least he does what the fuck he says he's going to do.
Yeah, and in my opinion, he's tried his best for all of the shit that he campaigned for in 2016. He has at least tried to do throughout the last 4 years. Now, you can't stop the Congress from doing whatever they're going to do, right? Because he doesn't have the House.
Well, the president can't stop them, but the people can.
Yeah.
By requiring some... We need to start working on model legislation here for another constitutional amendment that limits terms for Congress and Senate. Like, there's no reason that one of these assholes should be able to serve for fucking 45 years. Are you kidding me? Like, can you imagine the fucking... You should not be allowed to become rich as a politician.
Right.
You should stop doing what you're doing, leave your business behind, come do your politician duty, and then fucking fuck off and go back to your normal life. Like, the fact that you can become wealthy by getting involved in government is a huge fucking problem, obviously. Anytime you introduce profit motive into anything, look at the fucking secondary education system in this country. People can't afford to go to school anymore, and when they can't afford it, it's because they get put into a usury system that's completely predatory. And here we are now with people who... in their 25 to 35-year-old range, that used to be first-time home buyers and things like that, and spending, having expendable income and contributing to the economy, now they're just fucking doing nothing. Their money's getting spent on rent. So these conglomerate rent companies can butt-fuck us. You know what I mean? Like, by the way, they're the only ones that are going to exist after this housing bubble crashes.
Oh, 100%.
Like, it's going to be giant conglomerate homeowners. It's going to be giant businesses like Amazon, and all these small businesses are going to be out of fucking out of work. So... we're going to get to a story about that here soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Next up, though, it was night three last night of the Republican convention. Mm. My favorite quote of the night was from Marsha Blackburn, who said, "If the Democrats had their way, they would keep you locked in your house until you become dependent on the government for everything." That sounds like a lot like communist China to me. Obviously, CNN called this ridiculous hyperbole. But what's really happening here? That's what it is, essentially.
Like, I mean, which party right now is arguing for more dependence on the government, for shutting down, giving the government authority and power to shut down a private business when they feel like it. Like, these aren't, they're not operating on facts. You wouldn't shut down something for a 0.35 mortality rate.
Right.
Right? Unless you just wanted to fucking flex that power or gain that power, whatever it is. They're turning the concept of personal liberty into something that's like an immoral action now. Like, if Austin Talley wants to keep his fucking bar open and adult human beings who are capable of running their own fucking lives want to come drink there and say, get fucked to your bullshit, then they're not allowed to because, what, a whim? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not because science. It's not science. I'm right. Sorry. You can get fucked with that bullshit. If you're fucking old or compromised, stay home, I guess. But 0.35% is for everybody, and it's way higher at the older ages. And it's way higher for men, too. If you're a woman in her 20s, you should be super pissed off that you're having to wear a fucking mask everywhere right now because your face is breaking out and it's completely unnecessary for you. You face literally no danger from this.
Yeah, and it's going to fuck up your Tinder profile, you know? And that's what I'm worried about for a lot of women out there,
right.
You know? Because if, hypothetical, let's say Jesse dies in some form of hang gliding accident. Uh-huh. You know, I'm going to have to remarry, and it's going to be someone in their 20s, like Dan said. Early 20s, and you know, their face is going to be all broken out, and I won't know what they truly look like. I'll probably won't swipe towards them. I will probably
I've said
have to go
a million times. You do not have my blessing.
Yep, but I will have to marry abroad then and get a mail-in bride who speaks little to no English to serve me.
Anyways, there's a party, one of the two major political parties in this country, that is trying to use this pandemic, as they've used gun crisis and before, to affect the Second Amendment. Now they're trying to use this pandemic, if it's even that. I don't think it really is anymore, or ever was really, but they're trying to use that to push these fucking fucked up quasi-socialist policies. Now, what does this remind you of? It reminds you of the promises that they've made the black community for mm-hmm. the last 50 years and delivered on none of them. So they promised you'll be treated equally. They did nothing to solve the problem of inequality, economic inequality in the black community. All they did was give them handouts and keep them on the government tit for fucking 50 goddamn years, right? They've done literally nothing to solve that issue. And what did they do about criminal justice reform? Oh, that's right. They passed a fucking crime bill that put 3 million black men in jail. Joe Biden wrote it. Hillary Clinton stumped for it, and the Democratic Congress passed it. Get fucked with this bullshit. Like, if you... Joe Biden said, if you don't know whether or not to vote for me or Donald Trump, you ain't black. Man, I got to question your fucking integrity as a human being, as a black person. If you can look at the way the Democratic Party has treated your people over the last several years and the last several decades, rather, and you can still stomach voting for one of these assholes. Honestly, I don't give two fucks about Republicans or Democrats. I don't care about any of that. But look at the evidence. The evidence shows that, yeah, there's a bunch of fucking hillbillies on the right, probably more directly racist people that are conservative, I would say. But there's a lot more underhanded fucking institutional racism on the left, and it's not even fucking close. And you can see it by the fucking candidates these motherfuckers put up for election. I mean, mm-hmm. what the fuck is wrong with these guys? It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Well, look, when you rely on that portion of America to vote, right? The Latino and black community portion of America to vote for you, the best way to keep them controlled mm-hmm. Is to pay them, you know, via welfare or these weird fucking tax programs and all this other shit. Because that way it makes it seem like if you don't vote for them, you're not going to get that money anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what the shittiest part about that. It's never brought up in the black community, which, you know, we have some outspoken black leaders who have said, hey, man, we're tired of living underneath the government's fucking thumb. But for some reason, the media doesn't want to report it or talk about it. And no one else seems interested in hearing it either. Because me personally, I think, man, if financially everybody was secure, what would you need the Democratic Party for?
I mean, look, I think that, frankly, I think that the reason that there's typically always a right and a left in society is a matter of sociology. It's a male and a female combination,
yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, and we talked about this a few days
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, we have, yeah. I think that the Democratic Party represents someone that's supposed to be more empathetic, compassionate, thinking about people, and the conservative is supposed to be somebody that makes hard financial decisions and fucks people up when it's necessary. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that either.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not into binary political parties, but it's hard to argue with biology. Jordan Peterson goes on and on and on about this stuff. It's hard to argue with biology, and I think that it's reflected in our politics. Now,
so the Democratic Party is supposed to be more of the feminine.
It clearly is, right?
Right. That would kind of go along with what you're saying, which is we will stab you in the back.
Well, I'm not misogynist like you are, Jesse. But
I'm a huge misogynist. So if that's if the Democrats are the feminine side, they're right on brand with, championing this or really pushing this pandemic agenda while simultaneously pushing the Black Lives Matter movement, and one is directly contributing to the other, right?
Yeah, I would say that's probably accurate, yeah.
So this pandemic is 100% making it a lot harder for the Black community to get out of whatever hole they were in.
I mean, right? For sure it is. Yeah, it's creating...
For sure it
is. The people that are going to be most affected by this are people from the middle to the bottom, for sure. Because Amazon's not losing money, as a matter of fact.
They're saying, but Black Lives Matter, and we need to... You know what I mean? Like,
well, when do Black Lives Matter? We'll get into that here in a few.
Right.
But yeah, this whole supposition that the Democratic Party is somehow better for the Black community is demonstrably untrue. And I don't know how anybody can continue saying it with a straight face. It's the most ridiculous shit I've ever heard. And finally, you're starting to see some notable Black people call them out for some of this shit. As a matter of fact, we'll get to why exactly later, but even Don Lemon had some stuff to say.
Yeah, look, Tim Scott gave a great speech the other night about it.
I was a little wary of him when he first got elected because he was a midterm... Mm-hmm. Or he was a replacement guy for whomever the fuck it was. Was it when Homeboy...
It was in South Carolina.
It was when the former governor, Sanford, right?
Yes.
Like, he fled to fucking... Was that who we replaced?
I forget, but he's out of South Carolina, and he crushed on night one of the convention.
And that other guy, the Democratic politician that spoke for them, was very good as well, the black guy. I don't remember his name off the top of my hat. So he replaced Jim DeMint, who quit to become the leader of the Heritage Foundation, which I think is kind of wrapped up with him Falwell, so he might be into...
Yeah, a little cucking, dude.
Doing a little extracurricular activities.
A little cuck boy.
The other standout for me from last night was Madison Cawthorn. You know him from North Carolina's 11th District. He's the kid in the wheelchair. Wheelchair!
Yeah. Wheelchair!
I'm not a huge fan of old people or young people. Let's be real about that, particularly in politics, because I think young people don't necessarily have a lot of life experience, and you can't be truly empathetic. Like, empathy means this is something I have experience with, and I'm fucking talking to you about it because I know it's hard. Sympathy is like, oh, that seems like it sucks.
Yeah.
You have to have a little bit of both. I feel like young people have a lot more problem with empathy because they just haven't experienced life as much. But this guy seems like even CNN was sucking his dick all night because he only had positive things to say. And I think if you're a politician right now, if you're an elder statesman, you need to be railing on people. And if you're a young person, you need to be positive right now. That's why AOC turns people off so much. Like, her little niche, yeah, they like her, but everybody else hates her because all she does is talk shit all the fucking time. Like, you don't know anything. You've never lived life. You've been a fucking waitress, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like,
nothing
seriously,
irritating.
You haven't started a business. You haven't fucking done any of this stuff. You just cost your fucking district, like, fucking, what, $30 billion in revenue?
Yeah.
Or some shit. Like, shut the fuck up, dude. This idea, but it goes back to that idea that the Democratic Party represents, maybe the feminine is not the right word, because, look, I know, and maybe that word's just not descriptive, because I know gay couples, and there's always a man and a woman, right?
Yeah.
It's not,
but it's
a man.
Feminine.
I don't know what to call it. Yeah, I don't know what to call it. I don't know. It's because it's not feminine if it's a dude. It's just what we think of as feminine, right? So whatever the fuck that is, let's just say that it is something. You need both. You need two parents to raise a child. Doesn't matter what their fucking gender is necessarily, but you definitely need the strong person that's going to make decisions, and you need the person that's going to be empathetic. You need that shit together. You need it in politics as well. But me and the left, they've gone from this woman in her fucking like late 30s, early 40s, who's experienced life, had some tough times, overcome it, has a positive outlook, and is thoughtful and listens to other people's problems, to a fat housewife in her 50s who only reposts Facebook memes that are completely inaccurate. Like, it's fucking nonsense.
That gets hysterical.
Yeah, and in the last 2 days, I've some people on my Facebook that I don't even know, actually, are apparently liberal, which is fine with me. I don't care. But they keep saying stupid shit, particularly about these shootings that have happened recently. And I've made two threads get deleted in the last 2 days because of just not even lighting people up. And I'm just like, no, here's why. Yeah. No one, here's why.
Yeah.
But it's like that. It's like the typical Facebook housewife on either side of the aisle. That's what it's representing both of these parties right now. And that's why I think they're fucked. Like, you... if enough of your fucking party is that stupid, you have to act stupid as a politician to continue getting reelected.
Yeah.
That's how it fucking works.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I guess we get what we deserve, right?
We do, man. And I know there's a lot of people out there who are having a hard time with this election all the way around because they feel like they don't like either candidate.
Luckily in 2024, there's going to be the American Party with me and Dakota.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You and Dakota Meyer are running in 2024. So, though you guys will be up against Ivanka.
No, we won't.
Prediction.
No, she has no qualifications. But no one else does either.
That stopped anybody, brother.
I mean,
Laura Loomer is about to join Congress in about 60 days.
She might actually. Ivanka may. I don't. It's hard to say when it's a trust fund kid like that. They're like, oh, I've worked for my father's company for years. Like,
and hot. Let's
but what did you really do? And if it, like, you never know. Some of those people turn out to be studs. You know what I mean? Like, some of them are absolute fucking studs in business. So you never know if it's going to go one way or the other. I would expect a child of Donald Trump's, because, you know, we know one of them, to be pretty on the ball.
Yeah.
Frankly, I don't think he tolerates bullshit.
No.
Like, he wouldn't tolerate the affluenza nonsense. I like that Stanford kid that was like, oh, I'm so rich, I didn't know that rape was wrong. Like, whoa, what?
Yeah. Sorry,
what the hell does that mean? Like, you can't. Then he and his mom tried to flee to Mexico or some shit. Like, what are you, Scott Peterson? Get fucked, dude.
Yeah, and the one, Tiffany Trump, she was leaning more towards the Tara Reid vibe, like that whole sitch.
Man.
And then, you know, something happened after the election or right before the election, and now she's a lawyer.
I can tell you what happened.
She graduated law school.
Donnie T grabbed her by the chin strap and knife handed her and said, hey, get your fucking shit straight.
Yeah.
You're about to be on TV every day for the next fucking 8 years.
Now she's a lawyer.
Yeah.
So there is something to that. Well, look.
Magically a lawyer.
You need to be hot to get things done. Look at Kim Kardashian. She's freeing fucking prisoners, you know?
Right.
If she wasn't hot, she couldn't free anybody. She made a sex tape. Let's say if she was ugly, nobody would watch that goddamn thing.
Not true. I would watch
not
it.
Not true.
Did you watch the Tonya Harding sex tape?
I didn't know that it existed, but I will now.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've like, said it on the show before.
Way hotter about. Do you know what I mean?
That they're real people. Yeah.
Yeah. They just really have to prove something.
But even I'm not even like, I wouldn't say, I don't know if it's hotter or not. I'm sure maybe for creeps like you it is, but.
Yeah, exactly. Like, now I've perked up. Now we're talking about something that. Do you know what I mean?
You're perked up.
Yeah.
Now we're perked up.
Check those nips.
Perked up, yeah.
Now we're perked up.
It's getting
up.
A little cold in here,
now
fellas.
Now we're talking about what I really want to talk about.
Well, amateur porn.
I've said it on the show before. I'll watch any two people fuck anywhere at any time for any reason.
Yep.
Because it's interesting to me. It's like
one
watching Animal Planet.
One of my favorite quotes of yours, yeah.
Yeah.
I
understand.
I really want to develop an Australian accent just so I can be like that guy. What's his name?
If you,
Steve Irwin.
Yeah, Steve Irwin, yeah. Shout out to Bindi, who's getting married,
by
the way.
Where's his...
Bindi.
Oh, he had a bobblehead.
Huh? He used to have a Steve Irwin bobblehead, but it got stung by a stingray.
Look, we're figuring it out.
On the way over here. So.
Yeah, every now and again, I'll go...
On the drive
every now and again, I'll go
Texas
kill a stingray.
From North Carolina, got hit by a stingray. RIP to that bobblehead.
Anyways, shout out to Bindi, who's having a baby. Hot girls being boring in porn. Like, it's just the same as in life, right?
That Kim Kardashian, it was a decent porn, though. It was decent.
It was decent.
The Paris Hilton one sucked, but the Kim Kardashian one was great. That's why it fucking did so well and still continues to do well. Ray J's cashing checks. He owns Raycon.com. Buy Raycon.com/Drinking Bros. It's not our first sponsor. It's actually GhostBed.com/Drinking Bros. Today, kids, if you've not gotten a new mattress in a long time, now's the day to do it. They're having a 30% off bundle package Labor Day sale. Get on it. That's everything in the store. adjustable bases, pillows, sheets, mattresses, everything you can bundle together for 30% off for Labor Day. And as always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there. So you can fucking knock that shit down to like $35 a month and be sleeping in luxury. That's what you said the other day, Dan.
Sleeping in luxury.
Yeah. You were like, dude, this adjustable base feels like luxury.
It does, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's great. You can press a couple of buttons and it basically turns into a couch.
Yes.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Yeah, big fan.
Huge fan of that. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Or as always, if you're a member of the military, a first responder, a teacher, or work in the government, you always get 30% off. So you don't have to bundle anything together if you just want like a pillow and some sheets, or you just want that cover because shit's getting weird on Labor Day.
You can bundle my balls.
Yeah. If you're cucking, dude.
Wait, how do you say balls? I don't remember.
Balls. Oh.
My bad.
That's how I say the word balls. You go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Next up, Dan Schneider, owner of the Washington Redskins, is a dirty, dirty little man.
Dirty Dan Schneider.
Dirty Dan. In 2008, the Washington Redskins produced a show called Beauties on the Beach, which chronicled the making of their cheerleader swimsuit calendar. What the cheerleaders didn't know was all the nudity and nip slips and such were captured as well and edited into a video apparently made specifically for Dan Schneider, the owner of the team. The lewd outtakes were what Larry Michael, the team's lead broadcaster and senior vice president, referred to as the good bits and the good parts. I like the good bits better, Larry. Probably should have stuck with that.
Victimless crime. I mean,
Dan Schneider now denies this, obviously, which he would. You know, but real story here to me is the snitch, because otherwise, look, this was 12 years old.
Yeah,
he could have been jerking for 12 years. Nobody, none the wiser.
Well, I mean, I think
none the wiser.
The presumption is that he's probably done this more than once. People don't do stuff like that, particularly a guy like Dan Schneider with his level of wealth and the length of time he's been wealthy. People don't typically go out into public with their fucking weird kinks like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something happened before this, which made him get braver and more comfortable to ask other people to get involved. As a matter of fact, this guy, Brad Baker, said that while he was in the room, he heard the fucking Larry Michael be asked by Dan Schneider to get these fucking images.
Ah.
Like, he was in the room, homeboy said it in front of him. So yeah. He said it not only to the guy he was talking to, but didn't care that somebody else was around. Now, that's either billionaire hubris, or he's got a history of doing shit like this before. And look, let's not pretend like he stopped. You don't do that once and then never do it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if you don't get caught. For 12 years, he thought he got away with it. Now, not so much.
The weird thing to me is when you have this amount of money, you could literally just pay these cheerleaders to fuck you. Like, they only make $25 a game. And if you're out there, by the way, that's a true story.
They make about all 100, these cheerleaders, about 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, make between $25 and $100 per game. So, what
and
the
they
fuck?
Practice 4 to 5 days a week, yeah. But don't get paid for any of the practice. They only get paid on game day and $100.
Correct.
But they do it because they're trying to get modeling contracts, yes. And all right. That bullshit. Now, how many famous people do you know that used to be cheerleaders?
Paul Abdul.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is it?
I mean,
Sandra Bullock.
Was she with Sandy
Bullock? Not
in the
NFL, though. Former NFL. Let's do NFL.
Maybe she was cheerleading and got hidden by the blind side.
Stacey Keebler.
Oh, shit.
Who the fuck is that?
Stacey Keebler was on, she was, fuck, man, Dancing with Stars. She was a WWE wrestler for a while.
Oh, okay.
She dated George Clooney for a while. She dated my buddy Schultz. I probably shouldn't say that, but.
Stacey Keebler.
Sorry, George.
Another WWE wrestler, Terry Hatcher, was a 49ers cheerleader, apparently. Didn't know that.
Okay.
Lisa Guerrero, who is a journalist. I have no idea who that is. And a model, Camille Kostick. So there's been five, basically. In the history of life, there's been five. And you think you, with your big... No, I'm just kidding. It's probably not going to happen, but I get it. It's something to do, I guess. I mean, I don't know why the women would get involved in that unless they're just trying to get, what do you call it? Trips.
Yeah.
Trips. They're trying to go on fucking cool trips. They want to be on a yacht somewhere.
You don't know why they would go to be a part of the Beauties on the Beach?
I don't know why they would be a cheerleader in the first place. Maybe for the clout or for, I mean, these days they would probably just do it for Instagram, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But look, women will do a lot of stuff to get on a boat.
Yeah.
Giorgio has done a lot of stuff to get on a boat.
Yeah.
You fucked like a 75 or 80-year-old woman, right? I don't know how old she was.
And that was just a boat, right?
It wasn't even a 63-year-old, yeah.
Wasn't even a yacht or anything.
No, just a normal boat.
Wait, how? What year did that happen? 2011. So that was 9 years ago. So she's 71 now.
Oof.
The woman you fucked to get on a boat is now 71 years old.
71 years
you
old.
You piece
Yikes.
Of shit.
Send me a pic, dude.
Yikes. Apologies to
send me a pic.
Find her on Facebook and see what she's up to.
Yeah.
I want to give a quick apologies to my buddy George.
We'll bring her on the show and ask her how that dick was.
Yeah.
Can we dig up the 71 year old?
Well, if she's dead, we're going to have to dig her up.
She's alive?
We are
a woman only lives to be about 74, right?
No, no, no. That's women live longer. They're 79 now.
Oh, are they really?
We are ruining Giorgio's.
8 years away from death. Look at that, Giorgio. What if we dug her up and brought her on the show? How crazy would that be? Oh, I knew Giorgio when he was trying to just butt fuck to get on my boat.
Yeah, did you go, was it in the butt or?
Yeah, was it vaginal sex or anal? Okay. Ew. If it was butt sex.
Did she suck your dick?
Oh, yeah.
Teeth or no teeth? Or how that was that? She really took her teeth out? That's fucked up, dude.
Wow.
That's real fucked up.
She took her teeth out to give Giorgio a blowjob at 63 years old.
Yeah, now she's fucking dead. So congratulations.
Yeesh. No, I think she's alive. I'm going to say she's alive. Rich people live longer. She's got a boat. She's going
to
live longer.
What was her... fucking Brittany's talking shit to me in the comments down here.
She's
so
definitely
I think that means to keep alive. Going. So, Giorgio, tell us more about how you fucked this old lady.
I'm kidding, but speaking of sex tapes, Raycon is on the show today. Buy raycon.com/drinkingbros. Look, it's called Raycon because it's named after Ray J, obviously.
Yeah.
It's his company.
He's a
let's face it though.
Entrepreneur.
Motherfucker knows his headphones though, I can tell you that. Those are the best, man. Gigantic fan of Raycons. Go to buyraycon.com/drinkingbros today. I didn't know these were his, by the way.
Not when we first signed up.
No.
And then they were like about
we saw everybody wearing them like everywhere we went. And we were like, who fucking makes those? We were trying to find a headphone company for you guys. Obviously, we'd reached out to like Beats and all that other shit. And they were like, no, dude. Bose was like, no, we want to keep our prices right around that $300 range. We're like, fuck you. Finally, we saw some people in the airport and it was Ray. Everybody's wearing these Raycons. Mm-hmm. So it was like, all right, cool. We reached out and they were like, yeah, dude, we'll do the show. So go to buyraycon.com/drinkingbros. With that URL, it'll knock it down to like $60, $65 for these things. And they recharge for 6 hours. So when you put them in this little case, it's the size of a 63-year-old butthole. You can just charge them up 6 hours. You're good to go. And they're the best, man. We've had them on the show for a long time now.
Man, it's been...
Like 2 years.
It's been 2 years, at least.
Look, we're huge fans.
I think it was actually like June of 2018.
Yeah.
Like that.
And look, here's the thing. Ray J made so much money off of his sex tape because it was great, Jesse, that he's able to invest it all in other companies. You know, he owned like Bird, too. He owned like a part of the Birds.
He had a part of Bird?
The
or
scooter
Lime?
One.
Yeah.
Was it Bird? No, Lime is a different person.
Okay.
And he,
so it must have been, yeah.
Yeah, and he sold part of it for like $1.8 million.
I mean, shit.
Ray J's.
Uber owns most of Lime.
Ray J did the best he could possibly do with that sex tape.
Oh.
Didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Making great headphones, fucking scooters for the people. Shit. Ray J is the dude, man. Next up, Berlin has banned protests related to antivirus control measures.
Nope.
Here's another reminder that you should be happy that you live in the United States. As bad as what it appears to be, as far as the streets are concerned in today's society out here, I would take that plus liberty over the government telling me what I can and cannot protest about any day of the week. This is crazy to me. Is this Merkel?
I don't know. This is the local jurisdiction. It's Berlin.
Oh, it's local. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a mayor or whatever there. Equivalent of a mayor is. It's 2020, and for a major Western country to be banning protest over a certain subject mm-hmm. is fucked.
Well, you're seeing it in Hong Kong as well.
Well, that Hong Kong is owned by another country, my man. That's a whole different situation. And I wouldn't call, and also that's the Eastern
hemisphere. Either way, my point is this. I don't want to live anywhere else but here because of bullshit like this. I don't want to live in the Conger, which everybody calls it that, or Germany. I'd like to go get weird in Germany for sure. You were the one who told me, Jesse, that that's where scat porn is the biggest in the world.
Oh, yeah, huge out there.
Is it really?
Uh-huh.
Why is that?
Scat porn and David Hasselhoff. I don't know if there's a connection.
Oof. Maybe you take a shit on Hasselhoff afterwards. Like, that's your thing, you know?
That right. seems unnecessary, probably.
Or necessary. Put a little Knight Rider on in the background. Listen to his music. He's got a ton of hit albums, Jesse.
He does.
You asked to play one at our wedding. The guy...
Hasselhoff?
Yeah.
Which one was it?
Which album was that
probably,
off of?
Probably Time to Ride.
Yeah, Time to Ride. And then I think Ride Fierce was the second album. Mm.
Is it all about riding?
Yeah, Still Riding was the yeah. third one.
Because of Knight Rider?
Keep on Riding.
Keep on Riding, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Knight Rider?
Yeah, yep. I Miss Kit. That was a big hit for a while.
Yeah.
I heard that he got like a red laser imported, like put into his eye. And it just goes back and forth when he sleeps, so he can see it go back and forth like the car. True or not true, you be the judge. That's why this is called fake news. Are you surprised by Germany doing this, Dan? I am, kind of.
No.
Really?
No, Germany is like, again, what we talked about. This anytime you let the right or the left run wild, shit goes wrong. Think about the Tea Party, for example. Like, imagine a world where Michelle Bachmann was a fucking... congresswoman in this country. She is insane in every possible way, and that's where she came from. Pretty much all those Tea Party guys, Steve King, that fucking knucklehead, the guy, isn't it the guy from Iowa?
Yeah.
The guy that got basically booted out. Guy, he came from the Tea Party. All these knuckleheads. It's just like, well, you know what we want, man? We want to get rid of all the government, basically get them out of there. Like, go to fucking Somalia, motherfucker, if you want to operate without a government. Asshole. Jesus goddamn Christ. And then on the left, it's the same bullshit. They just lean towards communism. It's to me, Germany has been on that left side for a while now. Like, they've let an unchecked amount of immigrants from Northern Africa and the Middle East come into their country, and it's fucked now. They're having huge problems over with that, and they're not the only country to do it.
Yeah.
They have been very predatory when it comes to the rest of the EU. Over the last 20 years or so, when the recession happened particularly, they were fucking propping up people with these predatory loans and stuff like that, especially Greece, who Greece is never going to get it figured out. Let's be real.
Yeah.
It's over in Greece. Somebody just needs to buy Greece. Like, seriously, Bezos just needs to buy Greece and that become a funded, like, vacation spot
it
for
everybody.
It looks
great on
TV. It's amazing. Greece is amazing, but the fucking... They can't figure it out over there.
The economy? Yeah.
Never. They've been...
Teetering on bankruptcy for
30 years now. I mean, it's fucked over there. But no, it's surprising from Germany because they're usually pretty affable when it comes to minority groups in their country, right? Like, they don't have some weird, sinister history with banning free speech and destroying a minority group in their country.
Not at all. Not at all. I can't think of any. You?
Does anybody remember anything that may have happened in Germany?
Oh,
something
boy.
Maybe in
anything bad happened in Germany.
In the
1930s
and 40s?
Pretty clean.
All right.
Pretty clean.
That's a clean record.
Yeah, they're saying nothing, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that. Germany's been a model country for the rest of the world for 100 years at least.
Top shelf.
Top shelf. Top shelf vodka on that one.
Yep.
I kind of am, just because I thought their image had changed after the whole Nazi thing they were trying to get away from, and it always seemed like a party. I always think of Germany as Oktoberfest. That's it. Like, I don't really think much more. And sausages.
Germany. I don't think about Germany.
I do.
Not at all.
I do. I've always wanted to go there. I've never been.
I don't think about that country ever.
Have you ever been there?
No. But you know what's weird is kids aren't getting taught about the Holocaust anymore. We found that out this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a shocking one.
Kids there or?
Here.
Here.
So we talked
to eliminate that.
We talked to a child textbooks. That's about to enter the seventh grade, and he didn't know what the Holocaust was.
Or Anne Frank.
Had never
or
heard of it.
Any
of that stuff.
He didn't understand what any of that was.
Had no idea what it was.
Why?
And
is
he's
that?
About to be 13.
They're eliminating certain parts of history from all of these textbooks here in America because it's too harsh. and they want to move away from it.
Whole thing with the statue that goes along with all of that.
I've said this for 3 years now on all of these shows. Like, eventually, people are going to get in and just rewrite history altogether. And just, you know, if you want to hear about it, you're going to have to go to somebody's house where they're got a great grandfather's got an old book in the basement. And it's going to be like, here, kids, here's what really happened.
Yeah, but you're not going to believe it because they're crazy old. Yeah. Crazy old people.
Yeah.
Also, how long is the Holocaust relevant? You know what I mean? Like, how long does that... Like, obviously, we should know about that and what led to it. Like, the part that led to it is way more important than what happened during it.
Yeah.
Frankly, at that point. If everybody that's a survivor is dead or the government's different or whatever the fuck. But the problem is that we can't... If we can't examine that period of 1930 during the Great Depression to the point where Hitler took over as chancellor, then we're going to fucking let that happen again for sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That'll happen somewhere. Yeah. Probably not here in America, but it will definitely happen somewhere else. And I don't want to fucking deal with it, man. I don't want your kids... Whatever kids I might have out there. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm pro-choice. Anyways, no, I don't want your kids or my kids or anybody else's kids to have to go fight the same goddamn wars we've already fought. That's the one thing that a real warrior never wants. Like, I want, like, the reason we're there is to protect people from whatever danger that exists. And the idea, the very concept of my child having to go back and fight the same war I did because of incompetence is unbearable to me. I can't do that. That's not going
to
happen.
How to not repeat
history.
What
By the way, that's not a... I'm not arguing in favor of keeping these stupid Confederate statues up. I think that's stupid, by
no,
the way.
No, that's not the majority, what it is. You don't learn...
No, you don't learn history from, oh...
It would be interesting, actually.
Look at that statue. What kid has ever learned history from a fucking statue?
They don't
you kidding
even
me?
See them. They're walking... They're looking at their phone walking by, but...
Yeah, make an app about... The Holocaust.
Or hide a Pokemon there. And then it's like, oh, shit.
And in order
Stonewall
to
Jackson.
Get the Pokemon, you have to, like,
you
know,
learn
the whole
history of Stonewall Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to do kind of like a man on the street thing where we have pictures of statues and we just ask people to tell us who they are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just have a picture of the statue, where it is in the square. Like, don't.
Yep.
Just tell us who this person is.
I used to think those man on the street things were staged and they only talk to stupid people.
No.
But it's only stupid people. Like, if somebody tried to stop me for a man on the street thing, I would probably keep walking.
Yeah, because
I'm not going to talk to you.
No.
But dumb people will always stop.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, well, you know what I heard? You know what I heard?
Yeah.
What? Tell me what you heard there, Cletus, mush mouth fuck. Jesus Christ.
Giorgio, fun fact before we get to the next sponsor, Michelle Bachmann is 64 years old. So that is 1 year older than the woman you fucked to get on.
Right in your wheelhouse.
Wheelhouse. Yeah, dude. So maybe hit up the box.
Sorry for spiking that
audio. For those about to bock, we salute you and see if she's got a boat. Maybe you can get inside those sugar walls.
She lives on Lake Minnetonka.
Yeah, she does.
You can purify yourself.
Take, if you will, a picture. Of you and I engaged in DukeCannon.com. Finest soap in the land, because let's face it, if you're boning a 63-year-old, you're going to want to soap up after that, Giorgio. You're going to want to wash those nethers, and you might as well do it with the best soap that God has created. Not God, the fine folks at Duke Cannon, who are godlike for creating this soap. Four amazing flavors, as Dan called it yesterday. Which flavors. I agree with. I call it flavors as well. I do. I don't like using the word scents.
No, it's a weird word. I don't like it.
I like flavors better. They get the Naval Supremacy, which is your favorite. The Old Glory is mine. And you can get all four for $30. They last for fucking ever, by the way. With the promo code Drinkin' Bros, you get 20% off and free shipping. Best in the biz. Dude, if you get the four pack, the variety pack, you're good to go for like fucking 6 months on that shit.
They've also got the cologne, which you can get. What is it? Drinking Bros 10 on that one.
Drinking Bros 10 is the promo code on the cologne. And that shit is boom status. They got both the spray ones and the little
solid
sticks.
Cologne. Yeah. Yeah. It's a solid cologne. Yeah. You should check it out. I would get the, if you haven't tried it yet, I would get the four pack first. See which one of the scents you like. Then you can buy a kit of all the products that they make and that scent. Right.
Yeah. And by the way, Franco Melendez is just giving Jesse $5 for hand gliding lessons.
Craig.
So that I could die?
No, you don't. You get the lesson so you don't die.
Oh, okay, okay.
And Mike Hansen gave Giorgio $10 because he wants Michelle Bachmann to put that brand on Papa G.
Yeah, Craig Dulesky added $1.99 to that as well.
$1.99 to
people
that as
want
well.
To see for those about to Bach. We salute you. What's that?
Episode 1000.
You'll fuck Michelle Bachmann on episode 1000. Oh, that'd be great. She wouldn't be down though. Well, she's Tea Party, right?
She's a super Jesus lady.
Oh, is she?
Yep.
Well, looks like you're gonna have to be buying some crosses, you know, to put up around the old apartments.
I don't think that works. I don't.
No.
No.
Doesn't that mean you're into God if you've got crosses everywhere around your?
Yeah,
place?
It does. But I don't think that. That you just put up crosses and then Christian girls have sex with you. I think that's
how it works, Dan. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Well, I've never really tried to do that, but...
I'll give it a go on the next go-round. Next up, another Fort Hood soldier has been found dead. Sergeant Elder Fernandez was found in Tempe, about 30 miles from Fort Hood on Tuesday, hanging from a tree. Officials said he was last seen 2 days before when a superior had dropped him off at his house. Sergeant Fernandez had previously reported sexual abuse to his chain of command and was transferred to his current units. There's been a lot of... Would you call this murder? Like it's
well, they don't know if it's murder yet or not, but I feel like if it was an obvious suicide, they would have said that.
Right.
They're still going to process the DNA. They'll look at his hands and face for defensive wounds to see if he was dragged somewhere, to see, look for ligature marks, and see if he was bound around his neck or I mean, he's going to have it on his neck, but around his wrists or ankles or anything like that. Usually they can tell if a person was brought there forcibly or if they did it themselves, right? Just by the scene. And when I say usually, I mean almost always. So we'll see what happens there. But it's the 12th this year, the 12th soldier that's died at Fort Hood.
Yeah, and I know you guys did a story on Drinking Broettes.
About Vanessa.
Yeah, Vanessa Guillen was one of them.
Yep.
And speaking of her, Natalie Quam is actually the attorney for the family, for Sergeant Fernandez's family.
Really?
Yeah. She was the attorney, as you guys know, for Richard Stayskull, mm-hmm. who was suing the federal government for malpractice, the DOD, actually, and for Aaron Scanlon and Vanessa Guillen as well, for the family of Vanessa Guillen. So she's balls deep in this. In this whole fucking stuff.
We should get
her
on the show to chat about this because
this
is happening a lot. Mm. And I don't know why. Look, obviously you were in the military. Do you have any guesses at what any of this is related to?
No, I don't, to be honest. I have no idea as an older person now, my instinct is to say that the younger crowd has lost discipline, right? But that could just be curmudgeon-y bullshit. I don't really know for sure. But that seems like what it is. Look, the military gets softer with each generation because it is a reflection of society, and society has gotten, you know, more and more weak over time. Mm-hmm. So you got to expect stuff like this. Here's what happens when there are cultures of weakness. People who are fucking not weak, that are predators, are going to prey unencumbered. That's what happens, right? That's why this whole toxic masculinity thing is a bunch of fucking nonsense. Like, sure, let's defund the police and get rid of masculinity, and then you fucking have fun. Have fun fighting the wolves off, fuckface. And this is what happens, right? It's just like with the, and we'll get into this later, with the Kenosha gun thing, but when, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, when police officers are afraid to use the use of force continuum mm-hmm. in some way, and I'm not saying it happened in this situation, because it looked like the guy did have a knife in his hand. In which case, I would have just shot him in the fucking face to start with.
Right.
But anyways, it wasn't clear at first whether or not he had a knife in his hand. So I'm like, if he doesn't have a weapon and the weapon's in the car and he's trying to go get it, fucking crash that motherfucker's knees and do something. But you can't do that either, because then you are still brutalizing somebody. And what if it's not true? What if he lied and said he had a gun in his car and it wasn't true and you fucked his knees up? You know what I mean? Then either way, you're getting fucked as a cop these days. Because people refuse to look outside of their own prejudice from either side of this argument and understand what a reasonable person would do in a very unreasonable situation. It's not always the best decision. It's not always even the right decision. But it's usually not made in malice for the most part. Like, I guarantee you, this fucking officer that shot this dude did not want to do it. And he certainly doesn't want to be in the fucking situation he's in now. motherfucker. Everybody, every cop in America knows what happens if you shoot a black man right now. Mm-hmm. Do you think anybody out there is trying to fucking do that? Get fucked with that bullshit. And this is what happens when you have a weak culture like that. It fucking allows predators to take advantage. That's why we fucking do it. Like, you can criticize me all you want. You can tell me when and where to fight, but you can't tell me how. All right? Sorry, because you don't know how to fight. I'm not listening to somebody who's a fucking pussy who's going to cower at home while all this shit's going on. Tell me how to fucking fight. It's just not going to work. You're not an expert. I am. I'm an expert on violence, and so are a lot of these guys, right? And cops are experts on preventing violence. That's why 99.97% of all interactions between police and civilians go pleasantly. I mean, what the fuck are we talking about here? You know what I mean? With this weak culture. Anyways, for this kid, like I said, he's the 12th person to get killed at Fort Hood this year. Where's Congress?
Yeah.
Where are they? Where's Donald Trump right now? This guy that purports to support the military. Where is Joe Biden, who is running for the highest office in the land to be the commander in chief of these people? Why is nobody fucking talking about this?
I'll stand up for them a little bit, both Biden and Trump on this. I feel like these stories have been buried. So as soon as it happens, the media has suppressed these stories. And look, until you guys did it on Drinking Broettes, I didn't really hear the full story about it, you know, or what went on.
Are you saying that Congress and the president gets their information from the news?
Yes. I'm saying a lot of people do. And I think that's the saddest part of the world we live in right now and the current media that we have is when things don't get everything across the board, you need press and media to hear about something or to give a shit about something. The reason why people are protesting in the streets is they feel that their voices aren't being heard. In this case right here with all of these, you know, 12 soldiers. Mm-hmm. Unless you brought it up on the news or unless you guys brought it up, like, these stories are really fucking hard to find. They're not trending on Twitter. Nobody's talking about it on Facebook. And I'm certainly not seeing it on fucking CNN or Fox News or anything like that. You're just not hearing about it that much. It seems like it's happening in the background of like, oh, here's what I have heard. Oh, this soldier is missing. Great. What are they missing from? Like, It makes it seem like it's a missing child or something like that, where it's just like, well, it's a missing person. Yeah, but is it something bigger? Mm. Why has nobody dug into these stories a little further? Like, that's what's the shocking part about it to me is. So, yes, unless there is somebody out there who's going to push this story into the mainstream, I don't think politicians are really going to hear about it. Same thing with these fucking people who were locked up, you know, and wrongfully accused of crimes. As sad as it is to say, if you don't have a Kim Kardashian out there fighting for this, does Alice Johnson get freed? I don't know who Alice Johnson was. I didn't even know her fucking story until Kim Kardashian, of all fucking people, decided to say, hey, I'm going to take this public and make this a personal thing that I'm going to fight for. Like, I've never heard of that person, and I'm sorry to say that.
I got to say, I find it very hard to believe that Trump doesn't know about this. Once you become the nominated candidate, by the way, for any of the two major political parties, you start receiving national security briefings. So Joe Biden, as of the end of last week, started receiving national security briefings.
But is this a national security issue?
You're goddamn right it is, dude. Anything that affects the fucking welfare of troops, anything that affects the readiness of troops is a national security issue. By definition, yes, it is.
And but they have to think about, is this a good look? Do we want to? They know about it. So, like I said, when you were alleging that you think, you know, the president gets all of his information from the news, that's just not true, right? Like, so they get information. It's just whether or not they want to, is that a good look?
Mm.
Do we want to talk about this? Do we want our military to have any kind of weakness right now? Not right now.
But
right?
The last two presidents, Obama and Trump in particular, it has been reported on, at least from aides who have worked in the White House, that they have the news on all day there. And then a lot of these stories come from there. I think, Dan, you were the one who said that their briefings are down to like
the
two pages.
Yeah, the PDB used to be like a full magazine. Then it got reduced over the years. I think Obama reduced it down to like maybe 18 pages, and I think Trump took it down to 6, but it's bluff style. So it's actually it's also a new form of writing that's made it shorter.
Okay.
Bluff is bottom line up front, and then you can go find the rest of the information somewhere else. Basically, it's all the fucking key points up at the top of the fucking article, and then you can skip it if it's not what you're looking for that day, right? At any rate, they do get like this is not new. This is the 12th person that's died here. There's been two major cases that have made national press now. This is the third one.
Right.
And the commanding general at Fort Hood is still there. That guy or woman, I don't know who it is, should have been fired. And their entire staff should have been fired and forcefully removed from the military because they have abjectly failed our soldiers at Fort Hood. It is embarrassing to our country. I don't give a fuck about the war or the wars or the conflicts, whatever's going on right now. If you can't take care of your fucking people at home, and this is the bullshit that the right, by the way, took the opportunity to fucking light Obama up for, rightfully so, when people were dying in line at VAs in Arizona. They fucking rightfully told Obama he was a cunt. They needed to fucking do something about it. And right now I'm telling Donald Trump, you need to fucking do something about this or you're going to start losing people. You're going to start losing people. If you can't take care of the very fucking people who take care of you, then you are a piece of shit, period. And I don't have fucking time for that.
Yeah, and by the way, we're all in agreement on this. What I'm offering is you know, not a solution, but you need more people to talk about it. You need shows like this. You need other people in the media to start coming out and pushing these stories a little harder rather than what fucking Trump had for dinner last night. Like, stupid shit like that. I just feel like it's just not being reported on enough.
Well, Donald Trump is the commander-in-chief of the United States military. He could walk his happy ass into Fort Hood right now and fire everybody and launch an FBI investigation into what the fuck has happened to our goddamn soldiers. He could do that right now, and he's not doing it.
So
I want to fucking know why.
That's a great point, yeah. Why not? What would be stopping? What would stop somebody, a president, either Trump or Biden, from doing something like that?
I know what would stop me. Fucking nothing.
Right.
So I don't even want to have that conversation because I don't want to fucking give anybody an out or an excuse for this. There is no excuse for this. Sorry.
No, I look, we're all in agreement on this. I'm just wondering if it's something more politically of like, if you have that power, like you said, the president has that power, why not just fly down there and say, hey guys, what the fuck's going on?
I don't know.
You know?
That's a question that you can ask at the rally tonight.
Well, he's not going to be there, but yeah.
Somebody will be there. Somebody.
Who is it? Who's going to be there tonight? Top guys in Texas.
Stakeholders in Hays County, Blount
okay.
County.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people who have larger reaches as well.
Okay. So some big Texans is what you're saying. Yeah.
Here's how you create a problem for a president, and force them to do something. So, you find local politicians who control votes that they need to win electoral votes in November, and mm-hmm. you tell those politicians, hey, we're going to fucking start lighting your ass up unless you start lighting his ass up. Something's got to get done. This is the fucking jurisdiction right here.
Yeah.
We're an hour away from fucking Fort Hood right here.
Yeah, who's the Fort Hood guy, Austin?
I don't remember that base commander. My interaction with Fort Hood is strictly through USO.
Gotcha.
Help out with that transition program.
Yeah, yeah. So what he's saying is he's not sure, but we'll chat with him in a few
it
minutes.
It seems like... let's see, what's his name? John Carter. Congressman John Carter, the 31st District of Texas.
John Carter.
He's the one that presides over that area. John Carter, and let's find his contact information right quick.
Yes. While you're doing that, I'll get to the next sponsor.
Yeah, go ahead.
Pull up his contact info. Our next one is KillCliffCBD.com. 25 milligrams of CBD in every single can. No THC, so you will not piss hot if you have to take a drug test out there. Best in the biz, man. If you've got some joint pain or just looking to unwind throughout the day, you're stressed out or you have trouble sleeping, Dan and I drink a can of this every single night. It also goes great with vodka. I know that's become like the summertime drink for all of us. But we love KillCliffCBD.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS gets you 20% off and free shipping. They have a variety pack now, so you can try all three. Usually I talk about how much I love the grape. They've got mango and orange kush as well. Get the variety pack. It's 12, and then you can tell me which one you dig the most. I'm a grape guy. Go to KillCliffCBD.com today. Promo code DRINKINGBROS gets you 20% off there and free shipping. When you're shipping cans, that's a big savings. That's a big savings there. You have his contact info?
Yeah, if you live, well, it doesn't matter where you live. His Round Rock office is 512-246-1600.
One more time?
512-246-1600. And ask him why Donald Trump hasn't made his way to his district and ask why the fuck our soldiers are dying for no reason.
Or ask why he hasn't come out personally and made a statement on this since this is happening in his district.
He may have. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if he has or not. I mean, look, all these, frankly, all these politicians are a bunch of fucking losers. Like this Lightfoot woman in Chicago has the goddamn mayor. Audacity to fucking allow the police department to ban protests on her block. Are you out of your fucking mind? That's the country you live in, folks. That's why if you allow people to be in power for extended periods of time, they will become pieces of shit. You
cannot. She's also the one, by the way, who pulled up all the bridges a couple weeks ago during the Nike store protest when everybody decided they wanted new Nikes that night. She pulled up all the bridges at night, medieval times style, so nobody could get into the city. That was her. That was Mary Lightfoot.
That's actually a smart move.
Yeah, exactly.
It is. It is a smart move. But
I don't have a problem with that.
The problem is she's Democrat, and you know, she supports the protests and peaceful protests, just not on her block.
Did you
or at the rich ass stores downtown?
Did you see that that CNN coverage yesterday where they were like fiery but mostly peaceful protest?
Yeah, yeah.
And this shit on fire behind him. Like, oh my God, dude, are you fucking kidding me?
Little bit of fire.
Jesus. It,
mostly peaceful.
The fucking tagline or whatever the crawler said, fiery but mostly peaceful protest.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where we're at, dude. There was a KFC that was burning down. Speaking of KFC, they are joining the woke COVID crowd. Kentucky Fried Chicken, which is still one of my faves, is dropping the slogan, finger licking good, because they believe people will see that phrase and spit in their hands or slap people or get the coronavirus from licking their fingers. So
no, they'll just get hysterical.
Do people even eat KFC in public?
Oh, no.
No, you take that shit home and you eat it under a sheet in shame like you should.
Yes.
I eat it in the bathtub.
Yeah. Yep. Crying with alone, a fucking glass crying. Of wine. Yeah. Yep. I mean, it's like, what do they expect? What are the expectations here? That people are getting chicken, going to a public place somewhere, eating it, licking their hands, and then touching other people. That's what we're doing?
That's what it tells you to do, though, Dan.
Mother of fucking
finger
God.
Licking good.
I do what the package tells me.
So when you get KFC for your house after your kids finish, you're like, hey, did you guys lick your fingers yet?
Yeah.
No? Yeah. You ain't getting the fucking dessert,
bitches.
I showed them
the thing, and I said, see? Yeah.
It says it right on there. Yeah. This to me, this is just another case of us subverting natural selection. We've gotten too weak as a society, right?
Yeah.
It's become untenable. Too many dumb people are continuing to live. Like a couple of them died in Kenosha the other day, but the other guy
won't be doing tricep pull downs for a while. But
right,
you know.
No, right. He won't ever do that again. Don't like as a parent, you guys, I assume you want your kids to go through some things. You don't want them to be handed everything because we've seen what people like that turn out like, right?
Yeah, but I also would say, hey, man, let's not go skateboarding downtown during the protest.
No. I'm talking about weak culture.
Oh, yeah. Like you all of it.
And it's like your immune system needs to be exposed to viruses to build a tolerance. Yep. Your fucking brain, it's a sociological effect. It's like going to the gym and working out. Like, yeah, it sucks at the time, but you get stronger, healthy over time, stuff like that. And then you may even start to enjoy the process of the struggle, right? Now, we've eliminated so much of that from life, particularly for these kids, because they're on their fucking phone all day, not paying attention to what the fuck's going on around. They have no social skills at all.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea what the fuck shit is, including the goddamn Holocaust, apparently. And honestly, the systematic removal of that sociologically, like whatever it is that makes the struggle worthwhile, if it's working out and gaining muscle or whatever the fuck it is, we've removed that sociological principle from our society now, and we're fucked. We are completely fucked. And this seems like a silly story, but it is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we've become weak. I'm not saying we should just let viruses wipe everybody out because they couldn't figure out how to fuck and whatever. No, I mean, we take care of people, but fuck, there's a limit. If you have to go change language because people are too stupid to comprehend it, those people don't need to exist.
Yeah.
They are superfluous to society. If you can't figure out basic shit, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about people that are mentally retarded or anything like that. These are people that work daily jobs. They're fucking just fucking cruising around, normal IQs and shit. They're just fucking dumb. You got to go.
Yeah, Jesse and I have a joke around our house because we got a two-year-old. Whenever he drops food on the floor and picks it up and stuffs it back in his mouth, Jesse always says, building his immune system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we subscribe to the hygiene hypothesis. Correct. In my house.
Yeah.
And that is the struggle that you have because you want to make your kids.
Yeah.
Like, tough. Suffer, you want them to go through shit, but like. Jesus.
Like we as a collective group here don't really struggle for money in any way for the most part. Like, and there's always going to be fucking shit that happens, but for the most part, I don't really, that's not something that I'm anxious about ever.
No.
And a lot of people are.
Yes.
But how do you turn that into your kid not expecting that? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That I'm asking a serious question here because I have no fucking idea how to accomplish that. Like, you try, even when you try to like clean your room and I'll fucking give you $20, it's still feigned. Like, you're gonna buy them the shit they need anyways.
Yeah,
that's just right. All about, and they kids are smart, they're gonna figure out that it's all a shell game and it's bullshit. So how the fuck do you even deal with that? I don't even know.
Well, look, man, you go to like the tablet thing, you know, the electronics and all that stuff. You limit their time on that. You try to as a good parent. You see other kids who are fucking buried in it all the goddamn time and you're like, well, they're gonna be dum-dums.
Yeah.
The food thing, like, as stupid as this is, as you were saying, it is true. Like, dude, you've got to build immune systems. You can't. There was a fucking mom that was growing up when I was growing up down the street of a friend of mine who, you know, we had to lick the cookies and make sure no crumbs fell. And if a piece of food fell on the floor, you couldn't pick it up. Like, you would throw everything away. And it's like,
that's insane. It is those insane. Are like pale, weak little kids.
That is. But that's that what you're seeing on the streets shit. Right now with the Antifa and all the other bullshit, because they have never lived a life. Therefore, they're like, oh, man, I'll go skateboarding down by the fucking Kenosha fires and see what happens. That kid who got shot in the chest, because they had the photos up this morning, was, you know, skateboarding real close to the guy with the guns and everything else. And it was like he got shot in the chest. I don't wonder why on that one. I don't. And I have a hard time feeling bad for them because it's like, dude, where were your parents that said, what the fuck are you doing tonight? I'm going to go down to downtown Kenosha. You know, just check out the Kenosha vibe tonight and see what's cracking. No, dude, as a parent, you got to be like, you're staying the fuck in the house. Whole goddamn city's on fire. People are walking through the streets with guns. Like, use common sense. This, KFC, use common sense. What do you think? You just solved the fucking coronavirus?
Yeah.
Finger looking good. Oh, well, that's gone. Shit. Corona's going to be gone in 2 months.
But it's just like everything else in this pandemic, if you will. It's just everything is just to make people feel better. Like, me wearing my mask in a store and then walking right outside, taking it off and walking next to somebody. All of that, right?
Yeah.
It's literally just so that you're not frowned upon. Everything.
Yeah.
KFC doesn't want to be frowned upon.
Well, no. Just like the NHL. So the NHL has now decided, or they haven't decided yet.
Breaking news,
but
yeah.
They're looking at canceling their games, too, in protest now.
Well, because they took so much heat last night for not canceling their games.
Yeah.
And they said it's a white man's sports. Therefore, of course, they wouldn't sit out for the day.
No, maybe they just decided that there was no fucking point to sitting out because the NBA players are like, oh, we're going to fucking take a vote and see if we should even continue the playoffs. And they took a vote and they said no. And then they fucking decided to continue the playoffs anyways, which means LeBron James decided to continue the playoffs,
by
the way.
No, he did not. He walked out last night. So it was the Lakers and the Clippers. Those were the only two teams to walk out last night. Every other team in the league said, we're going to fucking play. And Jaylen Brown for the Celtics last night in that meeting said, great, you want to fucking leave the bubble? What are you going to do? Are you going to sit at home on Twitter and fucking write about your rage towards the police?
Yeah.
Are you actually going into the communities to fucking do something, LeBron? Mm-hmm. And LeBron walked out of the fucking meeting last night. So happened last night and this morning. There was four reporters. One was from ESPN. Mm-hmm. So he did a story last night. It was like fucking 12:30 at night. And he did the story last night, and LeBron left the meeting. All of the Lakers followed after him, and so did the Clippers. All the other teams stayed, and then magically this morning, they announced they're going to play again. So what was the fucking point of any of that? I don't get it.
To make people feel better.
Well, the Braves and Yankees both played. They actually played a doubleheader.
Goddamn right they did. And Acuna hit a 479-foot homer.
That's one of the hardest hit balls I've ever seen.
It's amazing.
If you look, actually, it's speaking of the Braves
Yankees.
If you look at the hardest hit balls of the season, I think Acuna has one, and all of the rest are either Giancarlo Stanton or Mike Judge.
Yeah.
Or Aaron Judge, rather, not Mike Judge. He wrote fucking Beavis and Butthead.
Aaron Judge can't stay on the field, so I think Mike Judge will probably end up with a better career because that guy keeps getting fucking
He probably made more money between Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill and shit like that.
Silicone we'll see. Valley. If Aaron Judge can stay healthy, he's going to get one of those big deals, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about Kenosha and all that other bullshit in Wisconsin, why don't liberals care that Jacob Blake was a rapist? Like, he was wanted for sexual assault on a minor, and that was the outstanding warrant, correct?
Yeah, I guess the question is broader than that, is when do women matter? When do Black Lives matter? And when do children matter, right? Those are the questions I would ask anybody that that belongs to that particular organization or that movement in general. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a reasonable question to ask. People will say, oh, it's what about us, and we're not talking about that. Yeah, we are talking about that because we're talking about equality. And when equality is the issue, then everybody's involved. That's what the fucking word means. So when you have political candidates and leaders of your party that have long histories of being accused of sexual assault, creepy ass behavior around children, for example, or one of the leaders of your party is a fucking rapist, a literal one that probably was on Epstein Island fucking children, and his wife systematically went against or went after all the women that were accusing him of rape over the years, and they're both party leaders. Like, tell me when women matter. Explain to me when exactly a motherfucking woman matters to you, because obviously it's not in how you choose your leaders or how you treat women. So where is it exactly, motherfucker? And where do Black Lives matter? Where exactly? Because Dorn didn't matter. That fucking guy that served his community for fucking 40 years, he didn't matter. He got shot in the head, two articles, next day, he's fucking not a story anymore.
Right.
Right? That's a fucking story to me.
Or Chicago. The kids in Chicago who get killed, what was it, 138 last month?
Yeah.
People in South Side of Chicago got murdered. Why doesn't anybody care about them? That's been going on for years. There's a reason why they call it Chi-Rac. Fucking hundreds are dying monthly in Chicago. And look, dude, Obama was in there for 8 years. He's a Chicago guy. Mm-hmm. He didn't do anything about it.
I mean, he fucked up traffic every time he went back to his apartment there.
Yeah.
Well, so.
He did in L.A. as well when we were there. So, But this Jacob Blake thing.
Yeah.
I know Trump Jr. tweeted about his record and him getting arrested in a bar a couple weeks ago for pulling a gun on people. He's looking at an 8.5-year sentence for that. I think this is the hard thing about this movement in particular, where you look at a George Floyd or you look at a Jacob Blake.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't the most upstanding citizens, right?
Well, there's a difference between being not upstanding. Like, all the criticism that was leveled towards Trayvon Martin, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's a punk kid out at night fucking smoking
weed.
That
doesn't matter.
Every single one of us was a punk kid out at night smoking weed. Every one of us. So shut the fuck up about that. However, George Floyd pointed a loaded handgun at a woman's fucking pregnant stomach. Does that count for anything?
No.
I mean, this guy's wanted for sexual battery, domestic battery, and fucking criminal trespass, and he's got a history of other bullshit. Like, so here's his arrest record, not all of it, but part of it.
Because you don't have all of it.
We don't have time for that shit. arrested in 2012 for DUI. And endangering the health of a child, which means he was drunk as fuck in his car
with
his child or someone's child, and domestic battery, right? Which means he got upset about that situation and beat the fuck out of his girlfriend. Okay, cool. So women don't matter there for sure. Neither do kids. Got it. Thanks a lot, Dems. Oh, so let's move on to this next one. Arrested last month, actually, for rape, third-degree rape, trespassing, and domestic violence. Women clearly didn't matter there, right? Good. Sweet. And then in 2013, he had another one that was a criminal trespass to a vehicle, which means, look, if that happened in Wisconsin, I would have murdered that guy right there on the spot.
Right.
Because if you fucking, in most states, because of Castle Doctrine with regard to a vehicle, if somebody tries to fucking grab your door handle and pull you out of your car, you can shoot them through the fucking window.
Mm-hmm.
It's attempted carjacking. It's a felony. And you can use a felony that there's any threat of great bodily injury to yourself.
And your car counts as your personal, like, property.
Castle
same
Doctrine,
as your land. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, in any of these situations, when did women's lives matter? When did these black women's lives matter? And when did the black children of his, apparently, that were in the back of this car matter? Like, when he pulled a knife on cops, or after, maybe? Like, a little bit of consistency, I think, might be necessary. And the fact that you guys can't admit this shit, when I say you guys, I mean Democrats, liberals, whomever supporting this nonsense. The fact that you can't just come out and say that this guy was a piece of fucking shit, and there's a pretty good chance he fucked up and got his own fucking leg shot out from under him.
Yeah.
That is a reasonable thing to say, and it's not racist to say that. It's understanding a fucking situation. This guy's got a long history of being violent. We know that there is a correlation between that type of violence, domestic violence, and future, like, homicidal violence. That is a fucking fact. There's nothing to debate about that. So cops know that. Confront him. Try to arrest him on the warrant for that thing we just talked about. And then he fucking pulls a knife out on him. What the fuck are they supposed to do? Like, go get in a knife fight with a guy? It's not a goddamn movie. These cops aren't fucking James Bond. They have guns. And once the guy goes in for the knife or whatever the fuck, and he says he has a gun or whatever and goes into the car, he's going to fucking die. The end.
The other part about this was everybody was bitching on Twitter of like, why did you have to shoot him in the back? Couldn't you just shot him in the legs? And it's like, man, is that what we're doing now?
And that is the headline, by the way, if you're reading it. It's like, black man shot in the back. Like, just because you're shot in the back doesn't mean you're not, like, running away pointing or going to grab something.
Yeah, and they were clearly trying to pull him out of the car, and he was reaching for something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, from what I understand, he had the knife in his hand when he was outside the car, so I would have killed him way before he even got over there, frankly.
Okay, I thought you said he was going to grab it, and then they ended up finding it in the car after.
If that is so, I mean, look, we don't know for sure. What I heard was recently from people from the area was that he had the knife in his hand outside the car.
Right. And we don't know about this because they would never tell us the actual details.
Well, I will
they
say
literally
this.
Will only tell you that a black man was shot in
the
back.
They
right?
did find a knife in the front seat in of the car. Yeah, so whether or not he had that going. On him and he
okay,
was reaching
it.
In there and
got
it caused him to drop it in the car or if it was just in the car beforehand, they did find a knife and the police did release
it. I heard a story this morning on the New York Times podcast where they were really, really playing on emotions with it. And the mom, they're saying the mom went into the hospital room and he said, I'm sorry, mama. I'm so sorry.
He should be.
She was like, what are you sorry for? You didn't get shot. You didn't shoot yourself, did you? You did nothing wrong. So it's this perpetuating the idea that no one has to take responsibility for any of our actions if you fall into a certain category.
Right.
Correct?
Right. Look, there's a lot to
like,
be
it doesn't
gained.
Matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter how much of a live wire you are. It doesn't matter how scary you are to someone. Right?
Yeah.
There's
a lot of money to be gained now. And, of course, she's going to go on and tell the fucking story that he was a saint and, you know, all that other shit. Like, no, as a parent, though, you and I are both parents. Like, first thing I would ask is, the fuck were you doing there? What happened?
What were you doing?
Well, that's kind of what the Kenosha police chief asked. Like, hey, there was a curfew in effect. You wouldn't have got shot if you weren't out there, which is a savage thing to say.
Yeah.
But he fucking said it. Police chief, by the way, is not like a sheriff. They're not elected. They're appointed by the mayor. So he may be getting fucking fired here.
Probably. He was talking about the two white kids.
Yeah, we'll get to that here in a second. I think it's about time for police to walk off the job. I think we need a general strike of all police officers in this country for about 2 weeks. Frankly,
and see what happens, and I'm with you. Look,
well,
man,
we see what happens. It's in New York right now.
It's in Chicago. It's in New York.
And the crime rate's going up in Los Angeles. Yeah, but a full strike,
roof.
A full on strike. And look, I know that is easy for us to say because fuck, it's not our money,
exactly,
and it's not our paychecks. Therefore, I'm not asking you to. What I'm saying is, if you did, I think people would treat you a lot better because they would realize, hey, we really need the fucking police. More than we ever thought in this life. Whereas an NBA player saying, I'm not going to play in game 5 of my playoff game, making $35 million a year, means shit. Whereas if all the police officers got together and said, hey, man, we're not working today, that would make a huge dent in society versus a fucking WNBA player saying, I'm not going to play.
Yeah, because nobody was watching that shit anyways.
Well, Jesse's
the only thing I was watching.
Yeah.
This is my time, dude.
Oof.
Like I said, particularly this season has been great.
Name one NBA player, WNBA player, just one.
That's what I said earlier to her.
Name one.
Sarah. Sarah.
Why did you pick a white girl name?
Because I didn't want to pick a black girl name.
Ah, there it
racist.
Is.
Racist. You're racist.
Yeah, your finger looking
super
good.
Super racist.
Your finger looking good is what you are.
Sarah Paulson, does she play?
Nope, she's on American Horror Story.
She is lesbian, though.
She is
so
a lesbian.
I'm on the right track.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Correct? Taller, lesbian.
You're really pounding the stereotypes that all WNBA players are lesbian.
You got to get us canceled.
You're going to get us canceled. Last one is Don Lemon. Is a gigantic piece of shit. Whenever I read the name Don Lemon, I usually toss this one to Dan Holloway because he loves him so very much. And usually there is a spectacular rant whenever I say his name. What did Don Lemon do this week?
I mean, just generally, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But this week, I think actually last night, he was, they were talking about the rioting and whatnot. Him and it was during the handover from his show to Chris Cuomo's show.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, like, I love how CNN will post clips of them every day. Like, oh, Cuomo and Lemon fucking laugh about fucking something Trump said. Like, oh, those two fucking retards were laughing about it. Great. Like, that's news.
Yeah.
It's so meta. You're turning two of your personalities into news, and it's not even news, and they're also idiots.
And you're supposed to be a news channel?
Well, they're definitely not. But the point of this is that he was saying that the rioting that's happening around America right now, and he said the word rioting, is a blind spot for Democrats, and that it's going to hurt them in the election, right?
I agree. I agree. It is shocking, though, to hear a positive story.
Well, it's
of
not
Don Lemon.
It's
from
not.
You.
It's not positive.
No.
And I'll get into that. He said that the Democratic Party is going to face consequences if they don't address this issue. He also said that he thinks the Dems are ignoring the problem and hoping that it'll go away, but it's not going to go away. And he said he intimated that Biden is afraid to address it before the election. He said so the problem is not going to be fixed by then. But what can they do? And I think maybe Joe Biden may be afraid to do it. I'm not sure. Maybe he won't. Maybe he is. Well, he's got to address it. He's got to come out and talk about it. But a little bit later in the conversation, about a minute or so later, his true concern kind of came through. Mm-hmm. It wasn't for the small businesses that are being burned to the ground. It's not for the people that are being murdered in the street, right? It's not for the absolute chaos that affects everything. It affects our economy. It affects everything when shit like that's going on. It wasn't for that. What he said was, but guess what? The rioting has to stop. Chris Cuomo, as you know and I know, it's showing up in the polling. It's showing up in focus groups. It's the only thing right now that is sticking. So his concern is about the fucking Democratic Party winning an election.
Yep.
He doesn't give two fucks about you or your business. He doesn't care about just fucking law and order and fucking a safe environment for human beings to live in, which is what you're guaranteed essentially in America. None of that. He's the type of person that cares more about symbolism than actual lives, right? They'll make a point before they'll ever fucking make an effort. I promise you that. These guys are just like the biggest fucking dirtbags of all time. He cares more about unseating Trump than what's a guy who has been historically good for the black community, by the way.
Yeah.
Than people whose lives are actually being affected. You know what I mean? And this whole NBA fucking shutdown bullshit, they're like, oh, you care, you white people care more about fucking black people entertaining you than you do about their actual lives. Here is your fucking number one guy in the press, Don Lemon. When I say your, I mean the black community. And all he cares about is this political agenda. He doesn't give two fucks about you or your problems or your small business that got burned down, even though you fucking put a BLM sign up in the front of it. They still smashed your shit in. You know what I mean? Get fucked. Don Lemon is the get fucked of the week.
I knew it couldn't be a positive story about
fuck
Don
that
Lemon.
Guy.
And somebody just, a guy named Gigi just gave you $69 for your Don Lemon rant.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Gee, whoa. Jeez.
Which is amazing. Thank you, Gigi. Look, tune in every week. Dan's got a Don Lemon rant almost every single week.
I do, yeah. I hate that
guy
so much.
Spectacular.
He's the biggest piece of shit of all time.
Of all time. It's time to get to the drinking bro of the week. He is not a piece of shit. He is actually the admin for the Drinking Bros chapter of Austin, Texas, in this lovely city. Come on in, Austin Tally.
Yes.
We wanted to bring him on. Look, whenever I put a post up in Drinking Bros, which if you don't know is a private group on Facebook, anyone can join. The rule is just don't be a cunt. You don't have to be a listener of the show either. It's just a fun, fucking awesome group full of like-minded individuals
oh.
who don't give a shit about anything. With that
christening
being said,
set.
Yeah, if you're not a drinking bro, I basically don't really trust you anymore. So when we moved to Texas, I put up a post in Austin, the Austin, Texas branch, and I said, hey, man, looking for a place to do with a live show. We're going to do it at your brewery. What the fuck? I saw the WTF first, and I was like, is it what the fuck? And you're like, no. It's Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
He made a mess over
Did
here.
You do that
yeah,
me?
Look at you.
No.
A brand new set, and you dirtied it with beer.
That's all right.
Twisted
he helped
X
us get it.
Brewery.
So
yeah, man.
He's allowed to fuck it up.
Once we met, you and I hung out on the first day.
Yeah.
You helped us find our realtors. You helped us figure out where we were living here in this state. And we're grateful to you. And we're doing a live show at your bar, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, on November 3rd,
yes.
the live election show. Austin Talley, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Ross. Yeah, we're doing that live show because, you know, we stop politics at the door, but the deal is y'all make things so entertaining and fun that it doesn't matter what party you're a part of, because you're going there to laugh your ass off at politicians who think they're running the show.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be us, the constituents.
It is, man. But oddly enough, you have ran in politics in
yeah.
in Austin. We were not aware how liberal it was here in this city. That was one of the very first things you told me when we moved here. Like, hey, man, just so you know, in this city, it's pretty fucking liberal.
Yeah.
I didn't have any idea until the mayor, I think we were here 48 hours and the mayor defunded the police, the city council.
Welcome to civilization here in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, now you've had your own problems because you own a bunch of bars and restaurants, and in particular the one we're doing the live show from, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. You guys got shut down for a little bit?
Yes. TABC was kind of doing this raid across Texas that they said they were, you know, supposedly, you know, 1,800 bars mm-hmm. and restaurants across the state, which I find very highly subject. I doubtful that any government institution can do something that effectively. We were given a suspension of 30 days. We had it beat in 72 hours. They were like, oh, we'll give you time served. And it's because the videotape was from a bar,
across the street, right? Yeah.
It had a two-story. It had a second story.
I like it. You're not going to out them. You're just like, yeah, it's
hey, you know,
street.
I don't dime out somebody in my own game, you know?
There you go.
Respect the player.
Yeah, exactly.
they actually listed a bar manager who was at that same bar as ours. And I was like, do y'all not remember it was me you talked to?
Yeah.
And I've got more cameras than a casino. I've been quoted many times on that. And it worked out in our favor. They came back Thursday when we told them, we're not agreeing to that time served because you can just come back and hit us with the 60-day suspension. So we fought them again. They came back Thursday and they said, okay, well, if you just sign this agreement that says you're going to abide by the governor of Texas executive order, we'll let you open right now. So we read it in detail. We all got the management staff together and we made the decision as a whole, five of us. And we're just like, okay, let's sign this thing. Let's get back open so we can show that we beat TABC.
Mm-hmm.
And
this was all because of COVID, right?
All because of COVID. And so we signed the thing. We went out on the town partying. I don't drink, and I had a blast that night. Everybody treated me like I was the mayor of Austin.
Well, you kind of are, man, because when we got here...
For us, you're the mayor, but anyway.
Yeah, you were on television for 16 straight days or something like that?
Yeah, on four different channels.
Fighting the city on what was happening. And the interesting part about it to me is the same thing was happening in North Carolina because we've got a fucking super liberal governor there. So, like, all of the bar owners and small business owners were fighting the same way that you were. And it was just like, we know who are our local people here. And when we got here, everybody was like, yo, man, you should hit a Boston Tally, man. That motherfucker's on TV every night.
Well, you know, I was trying to fight the good fight. I take things personal when they affect people I care about and when it messes with my money.
Yeah.
So I gainfully employ people who have master's degrees and who are newly expected parents. They work at Whiskey Tango Foxtrot Ice House because they can make upwards of $66 an hour. Yep. And that means we're doing something right. We're live music 7 days a week, three bands, entertainment, the environment we're creating, the vibe, people are loving it. And
yeah, your bar is fucking awesome, by the way.
Well, I appreciate that. And so I think it pissed somebody off. And so they came.
So then you went out drinking, though. This is a good story. So you were like excited. You signed it, and then you were like yeah. Blackout. I think you woke up in a dog bed or something. Is that what it was?
Yeah. So the GM, Trip Watson, great guy. He also does a lot of the concert production at our bar, Bat Bridge Live, a great company as well. And we went out on the town. I mean, every bar owner or bar manager was like, "You're not paying. Your money's no good here, Austin."
You did it. Yeah.
They're like, "How did you do it?" Yeah. I'm like, "I have the greatest partners ever. They're my best friends, Shaban and Karna Spiele. I mean, talk about American dream. First generation Americans, just kicking ass. And we won. And so we went out on the town. And I drank more than I've ever drank in a long, probably since the infantry. So it was a while. And it was just celebrating. I went to sleep on the couch at Tripp's house. Dog hates everybody, loves me for some reason. I'm the dog whisperer. And I woke up to a Fox News alert on my phone saying Governor Abbott at 9 o'clock this morning just announced an executive order to shut all bars. All 51% revenue-based alcohol revenue across Texas on Friday, effective noon. I was like, are you kidding?
Wait, what?
We're beating you at your own game, yeah. And then you serve us up this bullshit again.
Dan, what is Governor Abbott in?
Wheelchair! He's I call him Governor Wheelchair because he's Professor X, man. I mean, look, I'm glad that he sent more cops down to Austin, I guess.
Yeah,
but at some point, just like cancel culture, somebody's going to have to stand up and say, fuck you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Somebody's going to have to, one of these governors or one of these mayors is in a major city is going to have to be like, man, no, we're not doing that. I mean, look, Cuomo tried in New York.
Yeah.
He tried to get de Blasio under control because all the millionaires are leaving New York, of them. And it's just going to be like California. All the poor people are going to live there and everybody else is going to fuck off. You know what I mean? So what does that turn into?
Fucking socialist country. Yeah.
The Socialist Republic of California. I can't wait to get my passport updated so I can go there. And I'm gonna fucking take like $5,000 in ones and just fucking like just throw them away. Like, I don't care about this money.
You don't need it anymore.
You guys chose this.
Yeah.
This is what you wanted. Here you go. And I'm gonna burn it in front of them.
And Austin was the one who stood up to the city of Austin to make sure that small business owners could try to survive. Now, what are the new rules for your bar? Because I heard like they're making you serve some sort of food now. Is that a thing? Or
so basically, they're forcing anybody who is a 51% revenue base on alcohol sales. That's 1% difference between a restaurant and a bar,
mm-hmm.
and they're making all of us convert to a restaurant, basically.
Got it.
But TABC yesterday came out with this hokey law that says that we can sell prepared food, prepackaged food, even off-site prepared food. So we can have a kitchen from a third party prepare food and basically a cater,
right.
And we sell it. I could sell chips and a beer. So I can sell a bag of chips for $4,
yeah.
And I can sell a beer for $2.50. And as long as I mandate it to every customer, hey,
every time I have to go buy a beer, I've got to buy another bag of chips?
You know, yes. That's kind of ridiculous, isn't
so
it?
So this happened to me in the Austin airport last time I was flying out of here. The restaurant was open, or this bar was open, and I was like, hey, just give me a beer. I was about to get on a flight. I was like, yeah, give me a beer. And they were like, sorry, I know this is going to sound weird, but you've got to buy a food item with it. And I was like, what? And they were like, well, the cheapest thing is French fries.
Yeah.
So just buy French fries and then we'll give you this beer. And so there was a couple dudes behind me and they were like, hey man, will you buy us beers and we'll give you cash for it? we all don't want to buy a thing of French fries because it'll jack it up another $5 yeah. on this thing. And I was like, all right, cool. So what happened was, yeah. I ordered the beer, and I was like, where's the French fries? Because now I'm pissed off about yeah. it, you know? And yeah. they were like, oh, this won't be ready for like 10 or 15 minutes. And I was like, motherfucker.
Tell me what does adding the food do exactly?
So all we're doing is, all they're expecting is you to generate revenue 51%.
No, I got it. I understand how bars That's and restaurants it. Work. I'm asking how that affects COVID.
Oh, so when there's food on the table, it stops the COVID. It's kind of like
it's kind of like
gun-free zones.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
you just physically can't get past that barrier.
So it's like
says no guns.
So it's like a citronella candle burning outside to keep the
yes
the mosquitoes exactly. away. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
When there's food on the table, COVID doesn't exist.
That definitely is
because
not true.
Bars make too much money.
Well, all sarcasm aside, I know TABC with the ongoing negotiation we've had with them, private negotiation. We opt to not sue them instead of to really try to change reform, internal policies. And most people don't understand there's a difference between legislation and internal policies. And so we're trying to make internal policies more permissive for free economics.
Yeah.
And they're understanding that they're having to now adapt to this executive BS. TABC wants their tax revenue. You know, we had to pay $23,000 in tax revenue in the 45 days of being shut down. So Oof. When Governor Abbott shut us down, I said, okay, well, are you going to assume a responsibility for all of my obligations? Because you're restricting me from having the ability to earn a living. So you should go ahead and assume those obligations as well.
So yeah. you had to pay taxes on a bar that wasn't open.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's brutal. But, I didn't know that.
Wait, like liquor tax or property tax?
Whole bunch of different taxes.
Yeah, I mean, all of it,
like
right?
Like all the things yeah. that it Everything. Takes.
Nope.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's my thing. You've heard about this shit in California, right? They want to yeah. tax people for 10 years after they leave. Like, come get this
moving,
fucking,
yeah.
Come get this money, California.
Yeah, yeah,
well,
yeah.
you know,
I'll
Texas.
Fucking, I'll cash, I'll take every fucking dime I have out of a bank and bury it underneath me and wait with a fucking machine gun for California to come get my shit.
Are well, these people you know, out Texas of their fucking is motto, come and take it.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you want it, come get yeah. me. So. I'm a little upset. You know, you have Governor Abbott and the Republican Party, who I'm a member of. I'm a proud member of the Republican Party because I believe in the principles over party. And they've had the control of the House, the Senate, and the governor's office for 18 years. And we're still talking about the same platform items as well. You know, objectives that we want to achieve as a party for the great state of Texas. We're still talking about the same shit. For the last 20 years.
Well, that's politics, right? Nothing ever gets done, and it's the same conversation over and over and over again, and
yeah.
here we are.
I'm all just performance-based. I don't care if you're female, male, transgender, binary, black, white, Hispanic, Asian. You come work for me. You're part of the family, and all I care about is performance.
No Nickelback fans, though.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to stop those new... no Nickelback fans or artists who do cover bands of Nickelback.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you extended it to the cover bands.
Yeah, because yeah, yeah. like on our election show that night, we're not having any cover bands that play Nickelback.
Yeah. No, but we're going to have plenty of non-binary people, including you.
Yes, I'm non-binary, proud non-binary.
Ross doesn't yeah. quite understand what binary or non-binary, so
one,
he identifies.
Zero.
One and zero.
You're either one or the other.
I need to identify with something because everybody else is, so I'm going non-binary.
It's yeah. oppression yeah. FOMO is what it is.
Well, he's just like, I'm not binary, I'm non-binary. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because he just doesn't.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah. And I need to identify something, you know? You have a non-binary
an
bathroom for me,
to
right?
To have an anchor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 You were one of the first people we called when we got here to town. You were, I think, the first person we met here, to be honest.
Yeah.
My wife
It was
and
a
I.
magical evening.
It was. We went out, we had drinks, had a lot of laughs, got to see your bar and everything was going on. You introduced us to everybody in the city. Wanted to give
the
you
mayor.
The drinking bro of the week. Also wanted to have you share your story that you shared with me about Patrick Swayze. You know I'm a huge Swayze fan. Last summer we did the Summer of Swayze.
Yes.
You have a personal Patrick Swayze story.
Oh,
Tell
yeah.
the audience what it is, because it's legendary.
So the deal is you always reflect on one's life, and you're like, did I ever achieve anything? And I think I have achieved some things in life where I'm just like, wow, I'm truly lucky. I've done so many different industries of so many different careers, even two different military branches. I think I've done a lot.
Yeah.
One of them that I'm proud of is being a horse trainer. And I used to train horses at 15 and 16 years old for a living. Made great money doing it. And it was a farm in Kerrville, Texas called Thistlewood Farms. And under the direction of Tom McNair, that man probably forgot more about horses than I ever learned.
Right.
But Tom McNair's known Patrick Swayze since he was like five. And Patrick Swayze had all his horses there. And Olivia Newton-John would come out there, you know, Grease Lightning.
Yeah.
So the...
Big fan.
Did you have to train the horses to be approached from behind and then have the guy reach around them and help make the vase? Or how does that work?
Yeah.
Was
Swayze's horse ghost-like is what Dan's asking.
Was he using his hooves?
Yeah, his hooves to make some
hooves
pottery.
Is better hooves. Than hooves. It because is. Of Tom Green, right?
Yes, obviously.
Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Daddy, would you like some sausages? My hooves,
Daddy. Is so funny.
Yeah, I know.
God, I goddamn love that.
You know, I had a little bit of some October, summers going on. You know, a little
God
bit
damn
of,
right she did.
You know, I had a little 4-H group, girls, coming out,
okay.
A little Shriner College. Everybody's trying to be a vet tech.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 16 years old, and I have all these pretty girls from college down the street. Coming over and learning about Arabian horses and how to breed them. And
were you in charge of Mr. Swayze's horses?
So wait,
Mr. fucking Swayze.
Yes.
What?
He deserves the respect of Mr. Swayze. You know how much he means to me, God damn it.
And he would correct you. It's Patrick.
Would he really?
Yes. He was a down-to-earth individual.
Drunk as shit, right?
So, my second interaction with Mr. With Patrick.
I got him, baby!
Yes.
Mr. Patrick.
So I've got this mare inside the stall, and he comes over to me, and he's like, how's she doing? And I was like, sir, she's her urine's clear, so it's doing good, because she was peeing a lot of blood.
Same.
And I was like, she's doing good, sir. Turned out this horse ate a thistlewood, highly poisonous to horses.
Mm.
Soon as I said that, it's looking good, sir, dropped, hit the ground, and died. And I was like,
Patrick Swayze's horse died.
This is one of his horses.
Oh, yeah. This horse probably was $250,000.
Not Swayze, because he died of cancer.
Tamman, his stud horse, that horse sold for I think $19 million.
Holy shit.
These horses are a lot of
yeah,
money.
Yeah.
And this mare dropped right in front of me, and I had to pull the slip knot, let the horse's head down gently, and I literally looked like I saw a ghost. And
nailed it.
And I was
nailed
like,
blam-o, blam-o.
And Patrick looked at me, and he said, kid, it's okay. It's not your fault. It happens.
What a great guy. And that's what rich people say. Do you know what I mean? And that is someone that has so much fucking money. Am I right, Dan?
It's $250,000 just down the drain.
Yeah, dude.
Able to just be like, I'm sure he had drank a little bit, right?
Yeah.
He was probably
was
smoking at the
hound.
Time.
Yeah.
You know, Planet Hollywood was rough back then.
Hey, look. Yeah. Look.
Was it true? Here's what we always heard about Swayze was that he was fucking hammered all day and he chain smoked like four packs a day.
So Tom, who was like a father to him, Tom McNair, was up his ass all the time when it came to smoking. So I only saw maybe smoke once or twice.
Oh, okay.
Because Tom was always trying to get him to quit.
Got it.
I never saw him drink except one time
when flies.
Planet Hollywood had the grand opening on the Riverwalk. And Demi Moore, Bruce Willis.
You're talking about in St. Antoine?
Yeah, St. Antoine.
Yeah, St. Antoine. They all came to Kerrville at this beautiful multimillionaire ranch property, horse ranch property, to party. And so I'm seeing all of these people driving up in limos as a kid, and I'm just like starstruck. You know, I got to see little Van Damme.
Oh shit! Nice. JCVD was
there. Try to fight him. I would have fought him. I feel like I think I could beat Van Damme up, to be honest.
Poise Gracie was big. He's like a cage fight. So I probably could have taken him. He's in a little 13-second hold.
Van Damme was like a brown belt in fucking
karate.
No, dude. And one of the dumb ones. I don't remember what it was. But it was like
Kenpo.
It wasn't one that mattered when it comes to fighting an actual fight.
Yeah.
He was flexible and he could jump and kick and stuff. But I would fucking beat that guy to death. Well,
the story
in front
is
of his
the
family.
Bouncer beat him up. I mean, his own bodyguard.
Oh yeah. He's been beat up by a fucking number of people. Yeah. So I feel like at that point, look, you can't let that happen. If you're Van Damme, you have to fucking learn how to actually fight.
Oh yeah. Yeah. People like, are gonna try.
No, because I think maybe I should go fight The Rock.
Yeah,
or Kevin Hart, or both of them at the same time, because the difference between fighting The Rock alone and fighting The Rock and Kevin Hart isn't very much.
No,
because Kevin Hart's a little fella. You know what I mean?
It's just like one little add-on. Yeah. It's just an add-on.
Yeah, I feel like Kevin Hart would just be like the warm-up. He's the breadsticks.
Yeah,
and The Rock is my pasta.
And The Rock is my bolognese.
But we wouldn't fight. We would just sit around and talk about our fucking little stupid smush-faced dogs. He's got French bulldogs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nice. And eating protein because he likes to do that too.
Oh, that's it.
One thing we have in common.
Love steroids, The Rock. You know.
So do we.
Yeah. So here we are.
Big
fan. I wish I had his fucking trainers. To be honest with you.
No, I wish if you could spend. You know. Some of these athletes are spending like $2-3 million a year just on food.
Oh yeah, and they're trainers.
Yeah,
shit. I mean, it's like crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. Austin, looking forward to November 3rd at your bar. You'll be fully open. Chips. We have to buy chips there with beer. How's it going to work?
We're doing some great things. We partnered with Chef Bruce Tomeo.
Okay.
He does gourmet sliders. He's been a staple. At the COTA, every COTA event, the racetrack here.
Okay.
And we partnered with him, and he's going to be our resident chef. And we'll be serving gourmet sliders, and then, like, on Sunday, we'll have Sunday Fun Day, and we'll be doing, like, chicken and waffle sliders and egg sandwich breakfast sliders and little mimosas, you know?
Mimosas! And, now you're speaking our language.
Mimos.
Yeah.
You know, drive on by and,
tell everybody where they can find your bar.
So we're at the West 6th Street in Rio Grande. We're on the 6th Street, what we call working professional, you know, a little classy. Dirty Six.
Not dirty. Yeah.
Dirty.
You know, that's changed a lot. When I was a kid, we used to drive up from New Braunfels High School with our, you know, fake ID. You didn't even need a fake ID, you know? Just, you know, give the nod to the bouncer, and he's like, yeah, I'll let you in. I looked like I was 12 when I got into places. And you could, make out with some college girl walking across dirty or just randomly, you know, you good-looking enough kid and say, hey, you know, talk your way into smooching on her. Now you got to worry about getting shot. They had 4 shootings, like, I think, in the last weekend.
Dirty?
Love to hear it.
Dirty Six.
Really? Yeah. I should go hang out.
Oh, so it's actually dirty now.
I need to go hang out down there.
Yeah.
Get some target practice.
You know what they should do is get some 17-year-olds with rifles down there.
Ooh, yeah.
Hey, look, man. I'm just commenting on what happened. I'm not fucking making fun of it.
He didn't drive his kid down there.
I didn't drive my own child to a fucking
riot.
Tactical reload.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Is that what happened, by the
way? That dude's mom drove him. Hey, let's talk about
serious?
This guy right quick.
With his rifle.
Look.
I did not hear the shit. The mom drove him
down
there?
The mom drove him down there with his rifle.
She's getting arrested,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Speaking of that, here are the people that actually got shot.
What's
by
his name?
Him.
He's got a name.
I don't fucking care. Kyle. It's a Kyle.
yeah.
So the first guy that got shot, the guy that got shot in the head, he was chasing homeboy with a Molotov cocktail and then threw it at him. And the kid turned around and shot him in the head. By the way, convicted sex offender. Charge sheet includes sexual conduct with a minor. So that guy is a pedophile. They got shot in the face.
And
fine
so
with that.
We don't care, yeah.
Don't really care about those circumstances. Then there's a skateboard guy, Anthony Huber, whose girlfriend says, he's a peaceful man. Is that why he chased down a fucking child from behind and swung a fucking skateboard at his head repeatedly? Because you can't just say peaceful. If he's not, because he's not, motherfucker. He's dead, by the way. Oops.
Yep.
Whoopsie-doozy.
And then there, finally, it's the guy I call Arm Guy because I can't pronounce his last name. It's Gage Grosskreutz or some shit like that. Felon, member of the People's Revolution Movement. And next to that in my notes, LOL in all caps. Because that's, shut the fuck up.
Didn't he have a, he's a felon, convicted felon.
Convicted felon with a Glock. He had a Glock in his hand, yeah. So he tried to come up on the kid with a Glock. So not only are you a convicted felon in possession of an illegal firearm, you got fucking smoked by a fucking 17-year-old.
That's crazy.
What a little bitch. Yeah. And he's like, oh, medic, my arm. He's going to lose that arm, by the way.
You think so?
Yeah, now he's eligible to co-star in the next Fugitive reboot.
Nailed it. Boom. Also, he's might be playing Jim Abbott in the biopic. Mm. Oh, nailed it.
Jim Abbott threw a no-hitter.
Yeah, goddamn right he did.
1993.
Be a great story for Disney. A great Disney movie.
I saw him pitch against the Rangers.
Yeah. Damn right.
It's pretty awesome.
Armless.
Yes. Yeah. Got his autograph.
Well, he's got one arm.
You got his autograph? You got Jim Abbott's autograph?
Yes.
It's worth a lot.
Like the nub.
I've got his autograph.
The hand side, or the nub side?
Yes,
Like, does he just dip his nub in ink and then fucking...
Yeah, he nub you
how's it work? Because I got an autograph from Derek White.
I threw my shoulder up on him as a kid, and I was like, will you sign my shirt? And he signed my shirt, and I still got it.
That's awesome.
I got to see Nolan Ryan pitch a few times.
Nolan Ryan's my hero.
You know, that's when I loved sports. You know, sports were great. Entertaining.
Oof. You know? It's such a fucking pussification. That kid's name, by the way, was Kyle Rittenhouse. The NBA, just to recap this, is breaking news. Michael Jordan is the one that's brokered a deal between the players and the owners to try to get these guys back playing again.
Wow.
Which is strange. Look, Last Dance comes out. Everybody realizes how fucking important Michael Jordan is, and I'm sure they listened. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't have if that doc doesn't come out.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Austin Talley, we appreciate you being on the show. We appreciate your hospitality in welcoming us to your lovely city. And thanks, man. You helped get us this office and everything else. So cheers, man. Cheers,
well,
buddy.
Thank you. I just wanted to be a good steward of my community. And if I can be a part of the welcoming squad of Austin, Texas, make you feel at home.
Hell yeah. And join us. It's Whiskey Tango Foxtrot Ice House for the live show November 3rd for the election. And big thank you to Twisted X Brewery. For all the beers today. We've certainly enjoyed them, and we'll all be raging tonight. For Mr. Austin Talley, D'Anthony Holloway, Jesse Wiseman, I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Fake News. Good night, everyone.